think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
As anti-Semitism spreads on these college campuses, a new Harvard-Harris poll reveals how little Gen Z actually knows about the conflict in the Middle East. This was among 18 to 24-year-olds. Do you support Israel? 50%. Do you support Hamas? 50%. Was the October 7th attack justified? Yes, 60%. Is it okay for students to call for genocide of Jews? 53% said yes. 31% said Israel has no right to exist. 44% said Israel is not a democracy. 41% said Hamas rules democratically and is not authoritarian. And 45% of people said that Hamas lets gay people live together openly. And my question after watching that is, what are our young people learning these days?
That's a very good point. What are they learning? That is a report from Fox News based on a Harvard-Harris poll. I'll break it down in more detail for you in a moment. But one of the things that stands out most is that those surveyed, out of those questioned, 45% believe that Hamas, which is Muslim, would let gay people live together openly. No, no. If you know anything about Muslims and Sharia law in particular, they would be beheaded, thrown off the highest building nearby, and if they survived, they would be stoned to death and then beheaded, or beheaded before and do it all over again. And there's another part of a survey involving this that stands out also in stark contrast. But let me break things down for you. Thank you for joining us. Here we are, December 19, 2023. This is the second hour of Larry Connors USA. If you miss the first hour, you can always go to LarryConnorsUSA.com and pull up the audio and our video, because I remind you, when we're on the air, we are streaming video for you at Newstalk STL Facebook and Twitter, Newstalk STL Facebook and Twitter, and on Rumble channels. Easy to find us. Pull it up, watch it, choose it when you want to. And I would also encourage you to share, send it to someone you want to get included in the conversation. I appreciate you doing that. So the survey they were referring to then was a Harvard-Harris poll taken December 13th through the 14th. 2,000 registered voters in this. And these are 18 to 24-year-olds. Now stop 1 second. Have we not heard some of the progressives say, we need to lower the age of voting to 16. Really? Were you qualified at 16 to have an understanding of the world? Are you qualified at 36 or 46 or 66? All of us achieve that at different levels of our life, or some never do. Some are overachievers on it. But this poll was taken between the ages of 18 and 24, so-called Generation Z. 16-year-olds, if you'd thrown them into this mix, I don't know how that would skew the results, but based on the indoctrination many of them might be getting even in their local schools, they might parallel the study. 45% of 18 to 24-year-olds believe that gay people would be able to live openly under Hamas. And 31% believe Israel has no right to exist. 44% Israel's not a democracy. Mark Penn is the founder of the Harvard-Harris poll. Here's his view of it.
No wonder you're seeing these demonstrations by young people, because they have been taught that Hamas is the democracy, Hamas is the tolerant society, and not Israel. And that, in fact, in new polling we have coming out today, 18 to 24, two-thirds believe that Jews are an oppressor race. And so it's really incredible, but when you contrast it to either the rest of the country, or particularly 65 plus, who are with Israel 95-5 and don't believe any of the things that college students, we have a huge Gen Z divide here. People outside of Gen Z have some of these attitudes, but boy, when you're an 18 to 24, you are in a completely different environment, clearly generated and connected to social media and far removed from what everybody else in the United States believes.
And I would also say not removed, but absolutely indoctrinated by social media. It just doesn't move you away from other things that are more pressing in world events. It occupies time, and I have to admit, I get in there sometimes, and I'm just strolling along the piece of video reel that pops up, and I start paying attention to it, and before I know it, there's another one, and I've lost 15, 20 minutes of my life I'll never get back. And what did I get out of it? I guess some satisfaction. I wouldn't continue watching whatever it was. But Mark Penn, again, one of the founders of the Harvard-Harris poll, pointed out something that is also to be noted that I wanted to highlight. He said, based on the poll that they just took, 51% of these registered voters, 18 to 24, believe the solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict is for Israel, quote, to be ended and just given to Hamas and the Palestinians. And then he also noted a majority of those surveyed see Jewish and white people as oppressors. Where did that start? Well, from the leftist propaganda, obviously. And, of course, social media helping boil it, grill it, fry it, hand it back, and gobbled up by Gen Zs, without question. Some of them may have had a question, but they dare not raise a voice of opposition, because then you might be called out or pay some consequences for having a viable mind that you're using. But again, as he said, Gen Z starkly out of step with the rest of those surveyed. In fact, only 19% of those surveyed want to see Israel come to an end. Bill Maher was raising the question about what's happened with our universities as well. Of course, he's going to take a more comedic role on it, not as serious, but the point is still being made. Now, you may laugh or you may not. But at the same time, you cannot help deny that when he puts it in the way Bill Maher does, it might actually shock some of the Gen Zs into realizing, hey, this is not the route I wanted to take. We'll see how they react if they listen.
Calling for the genocide of Jews. One of them, I think it was the Penn person, said, I've not heard that. Mm-hmm. In other words, how explicit is it? Because when I break down the phrases that I hear, first there's the intifada. There are a lot of people who say you shouldn't say that. I disagree. Yeah. Free speech.
Yeah.
Intifada. That's one of those vague terms like jihad. It probably means violence. But you know what? It's just uprising, whatever. Give you a better. Okay, then there's from the river to the sea.
Yep.
Okay, that's a little more genocide-y, but you know. Let's give the benefit of that. Could be, well, we just want the Jews to move, not die.
As I say, you can laugh in the sense that he's actually spearing the universities and what they're teaching and the remarks they claim to be factual when they're not, and they're absolutely pushing propaganda. Not history, not education. That part you could kind of laugh about. But the reality of what happens at the other end of the remark, that's not so funny, is it? There's another survey that shows, again, how many college students are out of touch regarding Joe Biden and our economy.
brand new Fox polls are spelling bad news for President Biden, including this one showing former President Trump ahead of Biden by 13 points among voters under 30. That same poll showing only 14% of registered voters say Joe Biden's economic policies have actually helped them. Host of the Grace Curley Show, Grace Curley, joins me now. Good to see you as always, Grace. Look, young people always vote Democrat, except when they don't. What do these numbers tell you?
Well, you know, Todd, we've been talking so much about this matchup and how, you know, some people don't want the same matchup as 2020. And I've been guilty of this, too, thinking about, you know, how is it going to play out? But what people forget is now these young voters, they've seen both. They've had Trump for 4 years and now they've almost had Biden for 4 years. And so while I think it was easy for a lot of people to get so worked up about mean tweets and, you know, the media's outrage over everything Trump said, I think now they've had experience with inflation. They've had experience with wars breaking out, and maybe they're realizing that they prefer mean tweets to a lot of these real world issues that they're now looking at.
And a lot of Americans have come to that conclusion. Yeah, you did not like what Trump put out on his tweet machine. And many of us said he should shut it off. Someone should take it away from him because it was so mean and sometimes vile. I'll admit that I would consider some of them vile. But when you look at what he was doing for the country, how great the economy was, that we were energy independent, whereas now we're not. And in fact, Biden has basically not only taken oil out of our strategic emergency reserves to basically buy votes to let the public know, hey, things are good now, as he went into the midterm election. He's also sold some to China. And also basically shutting down any domestic efforts to ramp up production of oil and energy. And the prices, they want to say, well, the inflation rate's not that bad. It's actually moving down a bit. But if you read the fine print, it says, excluding groceries and energy. If you add those in, boom. Well, it destroys their image and their approach entirely. But again, you have many out there that don't understand that. When they hear the report, hey, inflation's still holding steady, not that bad. When you look at the core numbers exclude energy and your food. The other issue we have under the Biden administration is just rampant illegal border crossing, basically endorsed by the Biden administration. They keep saying they're doing things. They're not doing a damn thing. But Texas Governor Abbott is taking strong action to stop the flood of illegals.
We turn now to the battle over immigration in one state that's not waiting for Congress or the Biden administration to act. Texas Governor Greg Abbott signed a new law allowing the state to arrest people suspected of crossing the border illegally. That's usually a job for federal law enforcement. As Ed O'Keefe reports, it's setting up an immigration showdown.
Monday, Texas Republican Governor Greg Abbott signed two border bills into law. One providing $1.5 billion to build new barriers along the southern border. The other makes it a state crime to cross the border illegally, giving local law enforcement greater authority. Critics say that could lead to racial profiling.
Biden's deliberate inaction has left Texas to fend for itself.
The move comes as data obtained by CBS News shows last week the Border Patrol apprehended nearly 7,900 people each day, up from 6,000 daily in October.
Now, keep in mind, the bill that the governor signed had gone through both houses of the Texas legislature, a special session they had, and it basically is very similar to a federal statute, Title 8, making it illegal entry into the U.S. for a misdemeanor offense for a first-time offender. So if they catch them the first time coming in illegally, it's a misdemeanor. But then there's a felony for the second offense. That also exists under federal law, but under this administration, that's never pursued, really. And Senator Ted Cruz says the Democrats are not recognizing what we're risking at the border.
I can tell you I was down on the southern border about 5 weeks ago. I went out on midnight patrol with the Border Patrol agents. The Border Patrol agents are deeply concerned about Hamas and Hezbollah terrorists coming across our southern border. And with Joe Biden and the Democrats, it's wide open. It is an invitation to come and commit acts of terror. And we're vulnerable because of this administration's policies.
I would say we are. And we know that because of those we've caught coming across the border. And it's not just the threat of terrorists coming across, it's the others that are coming across and what they've been subjected to by the drug cartels that they have to pay to try to get into America. And sometimes they may not be paying them. They may have actually been kidnapped and taken by the cartels to bring them to America to get pay from someone on this side of the border, Senator Cruz.
There are a lot of cynical Democrats who look at the 9.6 million illegal immigrants who've come across under Joe Biden, and they just see future Democrats. And so they're willing to look the other way at the dead bodies day after day after day. Every day we have dead bodies on Texas farms and ranches of migrants who died being trafficked in. Every day the Democrats are willing to look the other way at the little children who are brutalized by traffickers. Every day they're willing to look the other way at the women who are violently and viciously sexually assaulted. And you know what none of them do? None of them go see what's happening.
None of them want to see. They don't want to know. They don't want to know. If I don't know anything about it, I don't need to. And I should point out to you that many of the Hispanics, according to some of the latest polls, are turning away from Biden. In fact, the CBNC survey says that Trump is wiping out Biden's lead with the Latino voters as we move into 2024. This is a CNBC report coming across earlier today and making it clear that many Latinos are moving away from them because they don't like the way things are going. And part of it has to do with the border issue. Also has to do with many Latino voters are more conservative than some of the progressive left would like to think. Many of them are Catholic, and they're not that big on abortion if they follow the word from the Vatican. And they're also not big on some other issues, but the Vatican is making some changes that it's going to be hard to see exactly where it falls for the Latino voters. But disputes inside churches is not uncommon. The New York Times coming out today with a big piece saying the United Methodist Church is coming apart. Faith is dividing over LGBTQ policies. That's in the United Methodist Church. 30,000 churches and 6,000 of them apparently moving away because they feel the church is getting too liberal toward LGBT. Went through the same thing with the Missouri Synod split at one point. And my own church, Central Presbyterian, Evangelical Presbyterian, moving away from the previous because there was a thought that it was becoming too liberal. Part of it had to do with some things as simple and that you would think it should not be a point of contention as to if women can be pastors. Every church body has divisions. I've pointed this out before. That's why you go into some towns in Texas, you'll find a first, second, third, maybe even a fourth Baptist church. Not because they had so many they had to build additional, but because there were divides. Well, I don't like exactly the way the preacher is doing that or whatever. But what the Catholic Church, the Vatican, issued yesterday, basically from the Pope, permitting Roman Catholic priests to bless same-sex couples. That's a significant shift to the church's approach to LGBTQ plus whatever. I want to get some reaction from one of my colleagues here, Tim Jones, who is a Roman Catholic. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
It's been a very busy year for Wellington Environmental. Tom and his staff had traveled all over making sure that minor issues don't become major disasters. Then there are the times Wellington is called in for emergencies, but nothing Wellington hasn't seen before. They have certified inspectors, chemists, scientists, environmental planners, and that's just some of their expertise. That is why the St. Louis Business Journal gave Wellington such a high ranking. So what will 2024 bring? No one knows, but if you take time to visit the Wellington Environmental Facebook, you're going to see things that might explain health issues at your home or business, affecting you, your family, clients. Wellington Environmental Facebook. Tom Wellington and the entire staff wish you a blessed 2024. Your world, cleaner, better, safer. So, as always, be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local and
global. People, this is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local, really good.
News Talk STL at 101.9, 94.1 and NewsTalkSTL.com.
As a truck driver, I've learned how important road safety is. I know that large trucks need more time and room to stop. That's why I always hang back and follow other vehicles at a safe distance. Everyone can help keep our roads safe. Next time you're driving, try to remember to always give trucks extra space when you merge in front of them. Let's all plan to share the road safely. Learn how at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you why pay more than four. In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets' ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner of Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444, 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
I have a great whiskey suggestion. Stolach Whiskey, created using natural limestone filtered water from the Ozark Highlands, aged in Missouri oak. Next time, get a bottle. But if you're going to share with friends, you better get at least two bottles. Stolach has the Larry Connors seal of approval. See the full story at Stolach.com. Stolach, Stolloch, from Stone Ledge Distillery.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
All right, so let me set the stage for you again. We have Pope Francis at the Vatican formally permitting Roman Catholic priests to bless same-sex couples as of yesterday. As I said, that's a significant shift in the church's approach to LGBTQ+. According to the Pope, the document provided and approved by the Pope, the blessings may be carried out providing they are not part of regular church rituals or liturgies, nor at the time as a civil union. Now, by civil union, I would assume they mean a marriage. So the latest ruling is fleshing out, in the way it's written by CNN, fleshing out the opening the Pope made to blessing same-sex couples last October and marking a shift from away from a 2021 ruling from the Vatican Doctrine Office, which barred any blessings, saying God, quote, cannot bless sin. Well, that I agree with. But I'm not a Roman Catholic. One of my colleagues here at News Talk, Speaker Tim Jones, has his program with Christopher Arps ahead of us every day. And I asked Tim to weigh in on this. Tim, welcome aboard.
Good afternoon, Larry. Thanks for having me on the program again. Great to be with you.
You bet. So what was your first take when you heard that Pope Francis had decided to officially permit priests to bless same-sex couples?
Well, Larry, unfortunately, given my feelings and opinions on this current pontiff, I was frankly, sadly, not surprised. I was disappointed, as I've been with this pope almost since the fact when he ascended to the papacy. You know, I am a lifelong Roman Catholic. I'm a practicing Roman Catholic. I'm a sinner, just like every other human being on this planet. But I'm a lawyer too, Larry. So we're always practicing to be better at everything, right?
That is true.
We practice to be better people. We practice to be better attorneys or whatever career we might be in, radio spokespeople. And I try to practice every week to be a better Catholic and Christian. You know, Larry, I read quite a few articles about this, and you know, this, I always feel like Pope Francis likes to be cute, too cute by half. You know, he likes to make these statements with a lot of nuance and a lot of gray area, kind of a lot of winking and nodding, you know, and that way people can't say, well, he said that same sex marriage is okay. Well, he didn't quite say that. But he did take the church a step further. Now, look, Larry, I'm also a bit libertarian on this issue. You know, as far as the politics go, I think Republicans were wrong for all those years to, you know, if putting on my political hat, if we as Republicans, and as you know, I'm a former elected Republican official in the state of Missouri.
Speaker of the House.
Speaker of the House. And, you know, Larry, back in the day when same-sex couples were demanding civil unions, maybe we should have given that ground up and put the issue to rest. Would that have been the camel's nose under the tent? Would they have demanded more? Would they have been happy with that? I don't know. But we fought them on everything. And now, under the law, marriage, which I think is a misnomer when applied to same-sex couples, is the law of the land, right? Because, and here's my point on that. Before everybody starts calling me a bigot and I'm a hater and all that, I am not. I am not at all. I welcome gay people into the Catholic Church. I welcome gay people into the Republican Party. I have worked side by side very closely with a lot of awesome gay Republicans. They are sometimes the fiercest conservatives out there.
Go ahead. Yeah. Finish your point.
I was going to say, Larry, words mean something though, right?
Yes.
And the left is constantly trying to tear the very meanings, the very etymology of our language apart. If gay people want to live together in some sort of union, that's fine. I could care less. That's the libertarian in me. But you cannot call it marriage because marriage means something, and you definitely cannot call it holy matrimony.
I'll give you the view of two gay Republican friends of mine that they both had said that we don't want to, quote, be married because that was what our parents did, but and when they moved to California, they decided to have a union, and they decided because we could protect our rights and have that we would not have as individuals. And they are also Republican, as I said, probably not quite to the log cabin type, but they stand more Republican than to the left. And they also were against using the term marriage. Now, this, as you said, the Pope has basically thrown some words out that everyone's still trying to interpret it. Was it sticking a toe into the water to test the temperature or into a bed of lava, as I raised earlier? He's following the Cardinal Victor Fernandez, also from Argentina, as is the Pope, who had said basically when people ask for a blessing, there shouldn't be a moral analysis. Everyone should acknowledge themselves as sinners. It's simply that. You and I agree. We're both sinners. I have no problem with that. And God makes that decision. But if this is a possibility to later step it up, and I have some gay friends that are married, quote, truly married or union, whatever you want to call it, where does it stop?
That's exactly the point, Larry. So in the Catholic Church, Larry, I have no problem with anyone and everyone being, quote, blessed. We do blessings all the time at our church, and I'm sure in parishes around the world. We do blessings for everything. We do blessings for kids going to college. We do blessings for sick people. We do blessings for married couples. We do, you know, they do blessings for your pets, for God's sake,
yeah,
right? That's
yeah.
Fine. Blessings are fine. People, Larry, should be blessed, but sin cannot be blessed. And so are we just doing a blessing here, or are we starting to change the doctrine and dogma of the church? The church should stand. It shouldn't stand for everything, but it should stand for a few things. And there has to be objective truth in this situation,
yeah.
Right? And Larry, as you just pointed out, gay people are not monolithic in this thought either.
No,
right?
They're not.
You've got very famous groups out there like Gays Against Groomers, right?
Yeah.
Who are speaking up very loudly against some of the leftist weird trans cult stuff. So if we're just talking about a blessing, that's fine. I'm okay with that. I'm fine with that. But Larry, I always feel like with this Pope, there's like some underlying, more questionable motive being perpetrated.
To that point, you said that you expect the church to stand for something. You quickly flash back in my mind the words of the evangelist Billy Sunday said, "You want to stand on something? Stand on this," and threw a Bible at someone. Said, "Stand on that," you know. And the Catholic Church, though, all churches, my Presbyterian and Baptist churches, I was pointing out before you joined us, they've all had dissension. New York Times today making a big deal out of the breakup of the United Methodist Church coming apart at the seams. And, of course, the Missouri Synod had a split, decades ago as well. Every church goes through this. But what gets me is the Vatican, the seat of the whole Roman Catholic religion, is it bowing to the woke?
Larry, the Catholic Church should not be subjected to the fad of the day or the mob rule of the tyranny of the majority. Exactly to your point. The Catholic Church has survived for over 2,000 years standing for something. Like I said, standing on its doctrine and standing on its dogma. And once again, I'm not going to denounce my Catholicism over this. I will continue to go to Mass as many times as I can. I will attempt to seek the sacraments. And I hope that whether you're gay or straight or whatever your motives or thoughts or preconditions might be, I hope you do find the reason for the season in this time of year. And we welcome everyone with open arms. But once again, words have to mean something. And the purpose of marriage, Larry, of course, under the Catholic Church doctrine, is for a man and a woman. You and I know how to define those terms. I don't know if anybody else does these days.
Yeah.
It's to put them into a union to attempt to continue to procreate the species, right? And, until the left tries to convince us otherwise, which I'm sure they will as well, it's only a man and only a woman that can do that under the sacrament and the sacredness of marriage. And
now,
that's what it means.
Now, the ruling says it is opening, and I'm reading from their words, the possibility of blessings for couples near regular situations and for couples of the same sex, but it's going to leave the decisions to, quote, the prudent and fatherly discernment of ordained ministers. So I'm like you. Not that I'm Catholic, but I think that's got to be confusing to everyone involved.
Sure. And once again, Larry, this Pope has done that. And, Larry, this decision on giving blessings to same-sex couples, to me, this in the order of things that this Pope has done, it's near the bottom as far as my concern. I've been much more concerned about what this Pope has, where he's waded into the political morass of speaking on climate change,
yes,
on globalism, on other aspects of what I consider to be leftist ideology. So I'm not going to lose any sleep over this, but I just think it's another notch in his belt to show that he is some uber progressive. That's not what the Catholic Church's motives and methods are to be. I will continue to be a huge fan of John Paul II, maybe, yep, and of Benedict, maybe the two last great popes that we've had. Maybe we'll have another great one down the line. But in my opinion, I'm sorry, this one is not it.
Well, I had a chance to meet Pope John on two different times when he came to the U.S. So I'm not being Catholic, but at the same time, I felt, blessed just being in his presence. One final quick question, only about 30 seconds here. So is the church bending more on the issue of abortion?
That's another concern, Larry, and that's another one of those, to me, that's another one of those issues that whether you're talking about the religious aspect or whether you're talking about the political aspect, I'm sorry, I don't give any quarter, and neither should anyone else, because if we're not going to defend life as Catholics, and if I'm not going to defend life in my political world as a Republican, then what's the point of any of it, right? If the state and if the church is not going to defend life, then what is the point of all of this, right? If we're not going to try to perpetuate the species, if we're going to be subjected to this leftist doctrine that people are bad for the earth and therefore we should have less of them, then we've really, truly lost our way.
Jim Jones, thank you very much for your time and your analogy, sir.
Thank you, Larry. As always, continue to have an awesome show.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Said analogy. I mean, analysis. Excellent analysis. And coming up, we're not done with this subject.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
I'm always glad to have new sponsors, but I have turned some down. See, I only endorse clients if I believe in them. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. Through those years, listeners said they went with John Beal because they trusted me. And just recently, a woman named Mary wrote, "We got a John Beal roof based on your recommendation." Thank you, Mary, and all the others for calling John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Ackerman Toyota has the 2024 models. You're going to be impressed. Check them out in person at Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. In fact, you've got to see the 2024 Toyota Sequoia. Very impressive. This is the time to buy and get top dollar for your vehicle. Looking for pre-owned? Ackerman Toyota can also help you. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is News Talk STL.
One of the five most traumatic experiences in life is moving. I can assure you that McGuire Moving can help ease that pressure. Moving into a new home or a new business, locally, internationally. McGuire is rated number one. More than 80 years of experience. Free estimate, call McGuire, 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuireMoving.com.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield is so luxurious you might think you have to be a member. You don't, but you will quickly see why Lit won the 2023 Riverfront Times Best Smoking Lounge, Best Smoke Shop for the second time in a row. Quality cigars, premium drinks. So join me at Lit, just off 40 in the district at Chesterfield. For special events, entertainment, always check the website, litstl.com. litstl.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You know, if you ask some people, are you religious, they might say, well, not really. Or they might say, yes, very much so. I know many who consider themselves religious who really don't go to church on a regular basis. And that's their approach on it. And I know others who say they're not sure what they are, and they may or may not go to church, and they don't deny God, is just that they have no interest in pursuing and understanding it. All that is between you and our Maker. Or if you don't believe in that, who do you want to take as your supreme? At some point, man has to recognize he's not in control of everything. Now, I'm not trying to make a sermon out of any of this, but I want to talk in more detail about what we were discussing with Tim Jones, and that is what's happening inside the Catholic Church. But I don't want you to think that it's just the Catholic Church. I want to reassert that. I'd mentioned that before we went to him in the previous segment, and then we went over a great detail with him and his views as a Roman Catholic on it. But let's just start with a basic premise, and that is the simple question, is there a God? You can sit people down, and I have, and some will tell me, you know, I don't know if there's a God or not. And I say, well, how do you explain the formation of the planet and everything we have in it? Do you want to accept the theory that it was just, quote, a big boom and it all just happened? Really? Does that sound far out, completely unbelievable? And then some will say, what sounds more believable than that there's some supreme being that put it all together? I'm not telling you how to believe or think. I'm just asking you. I know the comedian George Carlin used to get a lot of laughs, but, you know, there's got to be some big guy up there somewhere in the heavens that's watching over everything. Who believes that? I don't know what George Carlin's real thoughts were at the time, but I know many who have said, I don't really believe in God, but I also know that many who've said that if they find themselves in a foxhole during a war or a personal crisis, who do they cry out for? And when we talk about churches coming unglued, it is not just a particular denomination going through changes. I think the boldest statement about the Roman Catholic Church is because the Vatican is the seat of all Roman Catholic religion. When you get into Presbyterian, Baptist, Methodist, Lutheran, you're going to find various breakouts. And as I'd mentioned, the United Methodist Church, according to the New York Times, their headline reads, "The United Methodist Church comes apart." And said, with a deadline looming, the United Methodist Church breaks up. A quarter of the denomination's churches have left as the faith divides over LGBTQ policies, similar to what we were just discussing, referenced the Catholic Church and the Vatican ruling yesterday about a blessing for same-sex couples. Now, this is not a judgment by me, nor should it be by you, about same-sex couples if they're adults. But the Vatican ruling and the Vatican Church has stood for 2,000 plus years issuing rulings of what is acceptable and not for that faith. There is no such standard placed in front of other religions except what they choose to place are, and by that I mean not only Christian and Catholic religion, but Hindu, Muslim, Buddhist, but all of them come down to a deity of some type. Now, reference the breakup of the Methodist Church. Again, this started some time ago. In fact, back in July, actually, PBS even did a report on that the United Methodist is going to lose a fifth of their churches. And one source is being quoted as saying, there are disagreements over how congregations are handling LGBTQ clergy and marriages, but that's not the sole driver of the United Methodist breakup. The way members understand the authority of the Bible within the church, as well as who they interpret Jesus to be, causing divisions. That's happened also, reference the Missouri Synod, when they had a split with the Wisconsin Synod. A lot of it had to do, that was back in the 70s, and there was a break at that point. The head of the Missouri Synod is in the St. Louis area, and you have the Lutheran Church about the breakup that took place, and the Association of Evangelical Lutheran Churches also ordained women, while the Missouri Synod did not. So that was authority inside the church, not the word itself. The Presbyterian church broke away, and my church in particular did, back in the 80s, because it felt that the Presbyterian church as a whole, Presbyterian church in the USA, was moving too much toward liberal. And it was trying to balance liberties across congregations on non-essential doctrines. And the head of the EPC church is in Orlando, Florida. And then you get to, in addition to the Methodist, as I mentioned earlier, Baptist churches. And sometimes it's a division over interpretation of one part of the Bible, or exactly do we or do we not accept gays and marriage thereof as either being a marriage or just a union. The one thing I keep coming down to in all of this, the differences in the teaching of your religion, if you accept one, is like one pastor told me, it's like a package. They all have the same thing inside, but they're wrapped differently. And one appeals to you more than the other. And maybe one is going to be a harder road to hoe if you're going to stay with that religion. The other one's going to be a little easier. And churches have made changes that you wouldn't think would happen for some. Maybe allowing rock music or Christian rock music to be played at services where in times past it would be blasphemous for many. Well, then you have another split in the church sometimes because of something like that. One thing I do like about the Evangelical Presbyterian Church, and I'm not holding it above the others, I'm simply saying the basic doctrine is, the motto, in fact, in essentials, unity. In essentials. Of course, maybe you have to decide what's essential. But in essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, charity, truth, and love. I've always liked that approach. The essential things we need agreement upon within the congregation. Or we split and become another congregation. Or a member leaves and goes somewhere else. And there are those who have walked away from churches, regardless of what religion they were raised in or where they were, but they either lost their faith or saw no value anymore. I will say this in stressing, I think we're at a point in our nation where we need moral compass more than ever. You want an example? All right, let's shift gears and let me take you to a first-class example. Dateline, Pennsylvania. It happened earlier this month, but it makes a perfect opportunity here for me to bring this up, because I did not have time at that point because we were still dealing with the Hamas attack upon Israel. Earlier this month, the Democrat elected to lead the state of Pennsylvania's third largest school district was sworn in with a stack of books, including sexually explicit material. That's right, a recently elected Pennsylvania school board president made his priorities clear when she, because she goes by Karen now, was sworn in using controversial books. You can already see some break at that point. Karen Smith said when she became president of the school board, "Thank you for your trust. I do not take this hand lightly." And the hand again is resting upon books that are not age appropriate in school libraries. I would never tell anyone you shouldn't read that except when it comes to age appropriate. If you're an adult and you choose to read it, go ahead. But when you put it into the schools of children and give them access to it, then yeah, I would say, yeah, here is where we do, quote, ban books. The very fact that I said that will make many say, oh, Larry's all about burning and banning books. No, I'm not. It's very similar to what they've tried to do in Florida, and Florida and Governor DeSantis have taken all kinds of hell for it because they're saying, we're talking about age appropriate. Do you understand that difference? Then maybe I should not be having this discussion with you if you don't understand that. Some of these books, as she took her pledge, saying, I don't take this lightly, one of the books was the one called Flamer, published back in 2020, telling the story of a character bullied at a Boy Scout summer camp for acting in a manner considered stereotypical of gay men. The novel, graphic novel, includes characters discussing pornography and other things, which I'm not going to bother to go through here with you. Just know that it is not appropriate for kids in school. Why should that be an issue here? Because this is a new Pennsylvania school board president. And yet they, I say they, whoever did in that district, elected her. They had to know this background. Is that because the election was won by those because they made the effort and the others just didn't know, didn't care? One of the other books was Night. Another one called All Boys Aren't Blue. At least three of the books are listed in the top five of the American Library Association's, quote, most challenged books of 2022. Just last week, by the way, that American Library Association has lost membership. State of Texas, which ended its tax-subsidized affiliation, passed new rules in Texas to keep sexually explicit books out of the school library. And no one is out there saying that we need to be burning or banning books. They're simply pointing out these books have no place in our schools. One mother of two boys said she was previously horrified by LGBT and anti-Semitic remarks in the boardroom. But parents in the district could have more difficulty being involved in their children's education moving forward, according to some. Because the school board's new Democrat majority immediately voted to, quote, freeze two policies related to library books that were passed last year, along with other policies. Policies that would allow parents to challenge certain books given to their children. Here again, we have the state deciding we know what's best for your child. We spend more time with them. Oh, yeah, it's your child, and you got to basically clothe and feed them, but we're going to educate. Make that indoctrinate them. And that is a key point. Earlier in this hour, and we touched on it some in the previous hour, how out of touch college-age students are with what's really happening in the world. And one in particular, as we were pointing out, is even on when it came to understanding the economy and what's happening. Well, most of them don't have to make their own payments in many cases. The survey was of Gen Z, mostly college age. Some of them are maybe having to pay for their own way through college, so they get it. But Gen Z overall was thinking Biden's economy is doing just great. As a teenager, every one of us, as a teenager, have thought, well, my parents are dumb. They don't understand anything. They don't know what's happening in the real world. And sometimes after going off to college, kids did come back and realize, oh, my parents were pretty smart. And some of them didn't go to college. They went to trade school or went into the military, and they came back with the same thought. And here's the kicker. Years later, they realize, I've become my father. I've become my mother. I say and do the same thing. I always said that if I told my kids, no, you can't do something, I'm not just going to say, because I say so, I'll give them an explanation. And what do you do now? You don't. It's because you say so. Hey, remember our pledge, one nation under God.